community content from Concentrate. You're Up and Adam with Adam Montiel. Some say life's where it begins. Straight to the stars is where it ends. Yes, some say life is just where it begins. Straight to the stars is where it ends. Only to start again.
Happy hump day. What is good? Thanks so much for being Up and Adam. My name is Adam Montiel. Coming up later in the show today, we're going to delve deep into a world that is shrouded in mystery and danger. Two special guests, Aaliyah Rosa and Neil Strauss. We're going to explore the intriguing life of Aaliyah, a former Russian-trained spy. Listen to this. This gal used her skills to extract secrets. She used more than her skills. She used her body, too. We're going to talk sexpionage. So she was using this stuff to extract secrets from the most guarded individuals. Plus, Neil Strauss, the renowned author and host of the riveting podcast To Die For, they join us as we peel back the layers of a really compelling story. You know, I love to ask questions. I got a bunch of them for these two. Stay tuned as we uncover tales of espionage, survival, and the quest for empowerment in a conversation you won't want to miss. I want to get right into our lo-fi headlines. First, let's thank our friends at WeHelpYouLegal.com. Want you to get ready for a legal solution that's been a cornerstone of our community since the year 2000. Meet Christina Knoll, also Chris Rush, the dynamic mother-son duo behind We Help You Legal. Now, they've got two convenient locations, including SLO and Paso, and they're your go-to team for emergency same-day or next-day documents. You could save big with these folks on things like powers of attorney, wills, trusts, deeds, even divorce, and a lot more. How do they save you so much money? You're not paying exorbitant legal fees. They offer efficient and reliable service to help you execute the paperwork you need, and that's it. Maybe you're looking into an LLC, corporations, they got you. Need in-home or in-hospital appointments in San Luis Obispo County? No problem. Visit them. WeHelpYouLegal.com for a full range of services and over 24 years of expertise in simplifying life's legal matters. Let them know you heard it on Up and Adam.
Up and Adam's lo-fi headlines.
All right, you know we love our animales. This story has also a little call to action to it. Folks in San Luis Obispo asked to be on the lookout for an escaped falcon. Born and raised in captivity, Moro is a peregrine falcon. Some of those beautiful birds. It is belonging to Pacific Wildlife Care and has for the last 14 years. Apparently, the bird's handler, Jerry, told KSBY the bird got startled at an Earth Day event, broke free from its leash. To delve more into the story, we got Kristen Howland. She's the executive director for Pacific Wildlife Care. What to look for, what to do. Kristen, thank you so much for being Up and Adam.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So this is kind of one of those stories where it's just like, oh, we are holding out hope for Moro. He is a falcon of yours that has, you know, it's amazing because I've seen these falcons work before. They'll go fly around and the handler's got its arm out or a little thing and it comes right back on the arm. What happened and why do you think the falcon just didn't come back to its handler?
Yeah, I mean, Moro has always been on a leash per se, so it's not a trained falconer bird. It was given to, you know, donated to PWC 14 years ago, but wasn't fully trained as a falconing bird. So the handlers had it and has used it primarily for animal ambassador purposes, for education and outreach for Pacific Wildlife Care, and obviously for informing people of how to work with animals and around animals and protect and preserve them and their habitat. So primarily the animal got pretty worked up. Moro got pretty worked up with the wind and the people. And I think there were some crows that were kind of going a little bit wild that day. So it was just unusual. And it just happened to break off the leash and got loose. Really unfortunate. And they had eyes on it for quite a while. And then the crows scared it away again. And so definitely been out there keeping eyes and ears looking out for Moro.
So it does fly, and it must have just gotten taken up in the wind. But now, like you mentioned, you guys have had this for 14 years. This falcon, Moro, has lived in captivity for that entire time. So there's obviously concerns that it just might not be equipped with having to fend for itself? And does that put it at a greater danger, or does it still kind of fit into its place in the ecology of things as it's out there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, because it's been raised in captivity, and although it had some experience hunting, it's nothing like being in the wild. So not totally sure that it would get full meal out there in the wild on its own. Also, it hasn't taken long flights like a bird in the wild would do. So it would tire pretty easily, and it's a fairly hefty bird.
Yeah. What do we know about these birds and their kind of ability to kind of phone home, if you will? Do you think it knows where it would it be uncommon if you were to go outside your place where it stays and see it circling above you? Or if we were to see it, let's say even on a tree 12 feet above us, would we be able to get it? Like how do you get it?
Yeah, no, I don't know that anyone would be able to get it except for the handler. What they're kind of expecting at this point is that Morrow hasn't eaten for, a good solid 3 days. So Morrow's probably very hungry. Morrow's probably pretty weak if it's been flying away from the birds, crows and whatnot, trying to stay safe. But it may probably ground itself. It's fairly familiar with humans and cars, so it wouldn't be shocking to see it land in somebody's backyard and then just be too tired to fly away. So at this point, that's what we're really, really hoping for, is that, someone sees this peregrine falcon on the ground and just unable to fly, and that we'll be able to get Morrow back. Now, if Morrow was up in a tree or flying around and the handler can get out there, probably be able to bring him in fairly easily with the food that she has and, her knowledge of him and his knowledge of her.
Yeah. So the number to call is 543-9453. And I really like how you put that, because it would be weird if you just open your glass screen door and you go out and you see this, what obviously a peregrine falcon, they're big, beautiful birds, and it would not look normal to just see one on your lawn, especially one with two leather straps on the legs that they normally have on them.
Absolutely, yes, it'll have its dresses on there, and so that will be very different. You'll see this hanging from it. It was mentioned that it would look like a snake, like the bird was carrying around a snake if you didn't know what the dresses were.
Let me ask you about the handler right now. How is this person holding up? How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing really, really well. She's very optimistic. I know this has got to be hard on her. This is an animal that she's raised for 14 years, but she's remaining hopeful. She's following every single lead, which is a lot. She's exhausted, but she's so grateful for the sheer amount of people keeping eyes and ears open and the tips coming in, and she's trying her hardest to keep up with it all. So,
final question, Kristen. I know this happened around Laguna Lake in San Luis Obispo. By this time, should folks even, 15, 20 miles in all directions, Paso, AG, the beach, or would the best likelihood be that this bird is still right around in SLO?
Yeah, we should pretty much be focusing on SLO. It'd be pretty rare. We had a sighting of peregrines out in Avila Valley area. It was wonderful because it was two mating pairs, but it wasn't Morrow. But it would be pretty unusual for you to even go that far.
Got it. Okay, good to know. We got Kristen Howland. She's the executive director of PWC, Pacific Wildlife Care. And this falcon has been with them for 14 years. Just beautiful birds. Well, thank you for all of the good work you do. Definitely would love to have you on and talk about some of the other things. We have all the hope in the world that Morrow is going to find her way back to you guys and her handler. And we just hope for the absolute best.
Thank you so much, Adam. Thank you for covering this. And we appreciate all the support.
Again, that number, 543-9453, if you see Morrow, that peregrine falcon we're looking for. All right, a What the Food segment, WTF. Have you ever noticed the dusty stuff on packaged shredded cheese? It's always there, whether you see it or not. It's an anti-caking agent. Keeps the shreds from sticking together or getting all lumpy. Different companies use different methods. Kraft uses cornstarch. Tillamook uses potato starch. Sargento, powdered cellulose, which is refined wood pulp. Lucerne uses both tapioca and potato starch. Other anti-caking agents can include calcium sulfate, which is a component in cement, believe it or not. Now, it sounds questionable, but they're all food safe in small amounts. Still, not everyone excited about ingesting these substances raw. So there's a social media trend. Not sure how much this is really needed. It sounds silly. Folks are washing their shredded cheese before they use it. Most people, like this lady, dumping the cheese into a colander, rinsing it with water, then trying to dry it on a paper towel. Listen.
We're going to wash the shredded cheese. Let's make it taste better. Washing something off of there.
Huh? It is cloudy coming off of there.
Yeah.
Look at the difference.
You can see the difference. Look at that. Now you can actually feel all that stuff on this cheese.
Now you're thinking about it, you feel it.
I feel so much cleaner. Like
cleaner?
It's more smoother than this cheese right here.
Yeah, it's also watered down, though. This is silly all around. Of course, the water that strains out is cloudy, sometimes discolored. Kind of adds to the theatrics of the videos. But rinsing cheese is messy, and you have to measure it out first because you shouldn't return the clean cheese to the fridge. Even if it's dried, it can still develop mold faster because you have likely washed off all the mold inhibitors that are also added. And you're not going to drop dead from this stuff that's included in the shredded cheese. But if it's unappetizing, how about buying a block, shredding your own damn cheese? It's less convenient, but heck, so is washing your shredded cheese. It'll probably have more flavor too. It definitely will. It'll smell more vibrant, and it's also cheaper. You don't need to wash your shredded cheese. Finally, have you ever paid for the clear feature that lets you skip the line at airports? If so, don't be surprised if people start shaming you for it soon. Two state senators in California just introduced a bill to ban clear from airports in the state. Their argument is it's just letting wealthier people pay to cut in line. When you sign up, Clear records your biomarkers, like your fingerprints or eye scans. Then, for $189 a year, you get to skip the first part of the TSA line. A rep for the company escorts you directly to the X-ray machine, so you can bypass all the plebeians, yes? The new bill would get rid of that, or third-party vendors like Clear would have to pay more for their own dedicated security line at airports in California. It's all about the Benjamins. One of the politicians behind it, a Democrat, the other a Republican, they say no one at the airport should have to suffer the, quote, indignity of someone pushing you out of the way to let a rich person pass you. California would be the first state to ban Clear, but could be an uphill battle. Industry groups are lining up against it and calling it government overreach. And the government just wants their cut. Delta, United, and major airlines are fighting the bill because they have partnerships with Clear. They claim they might even have to raise ticket prices if that happens. If the government's going to get their cut, so are they. There's also TSA PreCheck, which is similar and some say better. It only costs around $80 and lasts for 5 years. All right, we're going to start talking some sexpionage. Yeah, yeah. Thanks to our friends at the General Store Paso, offering local goods, hand-picked gifts, a curated cookbook selection, and all the best for your pantry and home. These folks are just so good at connecting you with local makers and quality makers. It's what they do. Celebrating almost 11 years on the park downtown Paso, open daily 11 to 6 and 10 to 6 on weekends. Find them on Instagram at General Store Paso.
Up in Adams, lo-fi headlines.
All right. Today, we have the privilege of hosting two extraordinary individuals on Up and Adam. First, I want to welcome Aaliyah Rosa, a former spy turned coach and philanthropist whose life reads like a freaking novel from the Cold War era. Her journey from espionage to empowering women is not only inspiring, but also a testament to the human spirit's resilience. Alongside her, we got Neil Strauss, a 10-time New York Times bestselling author and the mastermind behind the podcast To Die For. Neil brings us stories that challenge our perception and illuminate the darker corners of human experience. Together, here's a rare glimpse into a world where danger and bravery intersect with the global stage of intelligence and secrets and sex. It's got it all. Let's dive right in to their extraordinary lives and uncover the stories behind the spies. Neil, Aaliyah, thank you so much for being up and Adam. Neil, I'm going to lead with you first in this podcast To Die For. You really dive into a world of intrigue, espionage. What initially drew you to explore the story of a Russian-trained sex spy? How did you prepare to handle such a sensitive and potentially a dangerous topic?
Hey, I know you wrote the book The Game about picking up artists. I think I found the female equivalent, and she's from Russia, and she was trained by basically the KGB to seduce heads of state and criminals and get men's secrets, and I think you need to meet. And I said yes.
Wow. Aaliyah, during your time in intelligence, you were trained to extract secrets from targets. It's fascinating. Can you describe maybe the psychological techniques or the strategies that you found most effective in persuading men to divulge confidential information?
Wow. Well, there are things. There are many, many techniques. But the strongest one, I would say, when an agent program the target through text using special anchoring techniques, then the target become obsessed and you can do whatever you want.
Wow. Neil, throughout your career, you've tackled stories that others might have just rather decided to shy away from. When you're uncovering these intense personal narratives, what's your approach building trust with your subjects?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, in Aaliyah's case, because she'd gone through a lot of sort of trauma and assault and the worst things you can possibly imagine, I took a course and got certified in trauma-informed interviewing just to make sure, first of all, I'm not making it this story, her situation worse, but she's healing through the interview. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is really just caring about the person, not turning them into some object for a product you're doing, but really, you know, I care about Aaliyah's healing and her sharing her story with the world to help others. So I think it's just curiosity, caring, and empathy.
You know, Aaliyah, the role of a spy is often glamorized in media, film, TV, but when it does come with significant risks and real, real tangible sacrifices. What was one of the more challenging moments you faced in your espionage career, and how did it really impact your perspective on your work and then just in your life?
Well, yeah, it's true. It's been, you know, movies and all these stories about glam spies when they, you know, just like live this luxury lifestyle, but it is just absolutely not true. You know, government doesn't give you money to such a luxury lifestyle. It's only in the movies, and 90% of your time you risk your life. And a few times I was in the situation where I didn't know if I will stay alive or if I would die. And you know, that moment, I would say I just felt that I'm helpless, like I can't do anything. It's like, you know, like in the war, like either you kill, either you will be killed, and there is no other option. So it was really hard.
Aaliyah, espionage often requires a deep understanding of human behavior and even human vulnerability. Can you share maybe an instance where you had to rapidly adapt your approach based on the reactions or emotions of maybe somebody you were interacting with?
Well, yeah, like when you start to speak with your target and you adapt yourself, you almost like become the copy of your target, right? So because like according to human nature and psychology, we mostly like people who look like us. And if you adopt your speech, your body language, your even like the way you breathe to your target and like just body language, everything, and you ask the right questions and you listen in the right way and all that, so it will lead to build that trust between yourself and your target. And then obviously when the trust is built, then you can go further and establish more close relationship with your target.
Neil, you know, hosting a podcast that combines historical espionage with personal drama, there's got to be a lot of challenges in there. Can you describe maybe a moment from production of To Die For that has really stayed with you?
Oh man, there's so many, but I think of a couple that really stayed with me. I think one was maybe the biggest moment was the first moment of meeting Aaliyah when this person who was in a mafia family introduced us, and I brought a friend or a guy I knew who was a top ranking head of department in the CIA to bring to kind of verify this. So it was we had the CIA, the FBI, and the KGB, you know, basically, and myself at a dinner. So I'll never forget that. Maybe one of the strangest, most interesting dinners of my life. And, you know, and then on the other side, there's parts where Aaliyah's sharing things that are just unexpected and so powerful that you're literally just almost in tears listening to these stories. And maybe the third part is just talking to these experts, understanding how Russia really works. If you're doing police work there and breaking up a tracking gang, that's what you think you're doing, but you're really helping some official who didn't get the right bribe or wants a better bribe or is working for the other gang to combat that other gang. So seeing how muddy the line is in Russia between the mafia, the government, and the police force, and the criminals, they're all one thing.
you know, Neil, as someone who has delved deeply into both music journalism and investigative storytelling, how do you kind of adapt your narrative style to suit really vastly different subjects, audiences?
Yeah, it's really true. I think the thought is that I think it's important. I think people like to brand themselves now. I'm this person, I'm that person. I think you just have to forget about everything you do. I just did a book with Rick Rubin, Speaking Music, the producer, and about creativity. And it's the idea that you just have beginner's mind on everything. You forget everything you've ever done. You forget about what everyone else thinks of you. And you just try to do the right thing for what you're doing in that exact moment.
You know, Aaliyah, from your military service to the international fashion stage, now as a coach, you see many aspects of power and its effects. What's the most important lesson about power dynamics that you try to impart to other women?
Well, as you said, fashion and beauty and all the things that really empowering women, right? So women want to feel beautiful, and it's sort of like empowering as well. And I feel like teaching them and coaching them, not just this, you know, new trends in beauty and fashion, but also self-love and self-esteem techniques, you know, like self-confidence, where they would feel sort of the best version of themselves. It's really important to me. Yeah.
You know, Neil, I want a couple thoughts. I know I only have like a minute or so left, but I know you used to do a lot of music critiques and reviews, and Taylor Swift's new album is getting really panned, a lot of it sounding the same. Give me a couple words, and I know you don't want to be, I mean, you've worked with spies, and this could probably get you in the more shit than anything else. Give me a couple thoughts on the new Taylor Swift album, Tortured Poets.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like, I actually think that people aren't listening to the album, they're just reviewing Taylor Swift. I think if somebody else made that album, it would be a different response. It's just, she's gotten bigger than the culture, and the culture works that when you get too big, try to destroy you. When you're destroyed, they try to lift you back up. I think the culture just works in polarity to someone's fame level. So I think they were reviewing Taylor Swift the person a lot in the backlash versus like the album itself.
Thanks for letting me go there with you. Aaliyah, you successfully founded and promoted a woman empowerment fashion-related club that organizes charitable philanthropic events. What has been your strategy for engaging influential brands in these causes, and what impact have these collaborations had?
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, all these brands, they want to bring to the society, and they're very happy to participate in charitable events because of, like, you know, social responsibility, and also connecting with another audience who would appreciate their products. And I think that when you unite all the things together, like amazing audience and well-known brands, it gives you sort of like another level of raising donations for the charity. And that's how I feel it. And, you know, from both sides, they kind of like, they do donations, and they will help someone in need, which is fantastic.
I've loved this conversation. Do we have time for one more question each? I don't want to, if you got to go to the next person, I can wrap now, but I wanted to see where you're at. I don't know if this is Bill.
Let's do it. Yeah, can we do it, Bill?
Yeah, why not?
I love it.
Why
okay.
Not? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Neil, reflecting on your interviews and investigations, how do you handle the emotional impact really of exploring such deep and really often disturbing stories, Neil?
Yeah, I do feel by understanding the dark side of human nature, we can feel sometimes by understanding something that feels safe, and it lessens our fear once we understand it. If we don't understand it, then it just is actually scarier. So I feel safer understanding it. Second side of that, though, is that then once I release these podcasts, it can be dangerous. I did my last podcast, you know, we're revealing murderers who are still out and free. And so... And in this case, I mean, both Aaliyah and I have had experiences where we felt there were cars following us. It might be just our paranoia, or it might have been there were cars following us. But you're definitely taking a risk by telling these kinds of stories. But I think we have to take these risks because these stories need to be told.
Let's talk the landscape quickly of podcast storytelling. It has changed since you began. Where do you see it heading in the next few years, and the way you will be malleable with it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I never think about where it's going. I just think about what I want to do. But what I love is that there's this, it's a new medium, and there's opportunities for, you know, innovating and creating better stories. So I really try to create a immersive storytelling with each episode takes a month to create, and I love that. But in the podcast trends itself, these limited series like we're doing, are maybe less attractive maybe to advertisers because they want to just be in a weekly show that continues forever and keeps building an audience. But I'll keep doing these series, whatever the advertisers like or not, because just like Taylor Swift's career and everyone else's career, things go up and down and they come back, and so keep doing what you love.
Aaliyah, considering your exposure to both Eastern and Western cultures, how do you integrate these experiences with your advocacy work, your public speaking, and really like looking back on a varied career of all these experiences and things you've done? What would you say has been the defining moment that really kind of set you on your current path?
Wow, that's great. I honestly see a lot of similarities, right, between all these cultures. And I just look at different countries because I lived in Europe for 15 years, right? So, and now I'm here in America for 3 years. And it's at one point, it's very similar, but on another hand, it's very different. And I love American people, you know, they're like really friendly and open-minded and very creative. And I just enjoy being here, living here. But at the another hand, like I still miss Europe. So it's like this kind of like I have two homes where I would say I was raised and I was born in USSR and I was raised in all this like post-Soviet state. I never ever felt that I want to go back or I have nostalgic mood or something. I literally, sorry to say, but whoever will listen to me, I'm not Russian. I'm from Kazakhstan and the country, I never lived there. But I literally like hate the whole Russian system and the whole situation, what is going on there. So I feel like this never been my home. I mean, it is what it is, you know, so that's why we are here, we're doing what we're doing, and hopefully everything will be good.
Well, I appreciate both of your time. I hope you guys enjoyed this interview. I really enjoyed talking to both of you. Could talk to each of you individually for a whole other hour or together. I mean, I just really, really like it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. I really like your questions, really like, well, really thoughtful, man. I love that. Love the questions you prepared, and definitely didn't expect a Taylor Swift question in there, but like, I also sorry. Like that your interests are varied. I just know, give the people what they want.
I know your history, and I know that you would have a thoughtful take on it. So thank you for letting me insert that one in there, and I wish you guys both a great day. Thank you for the compliment on the questions. I was really looking forward to this chat.
Cool, man. Yeah, hope to meet up there sometime. Thanks, Ed.
Start again. All right, link in the show notes for the podcast to die for. All right, mucho thank yous to our friends at Window Coverings by Design. Monique and her team, new to the fam. I've known Monique for a long time. She is talented, lovely inside and out. I'm certainly excited that Window Coverings by Design is up and at 'em. Think modern, think high-end quality. They bring nearly a decade of local expertise in transforming homes across SLO and Santa Barbara counties. When your windows have your personal touch, it makes all the difference. It's a hassle-free experience. Your ideas come into life. Check out their free in-home design consultation. They simplify the process, ensuring your space reflects your unique style without the stress. Call them up, 805-316-1177. That's 805-316-1177. Just visit with her. Have her check out your spot or visit bydesignslow.com. Window Coverings by Design. Your windows, your style. All right, coming up more fun this week, we're going to talk to Stacey Athon. She has been a friend of the show for about 3 years or more. She is a cancer survivor, young gal, triple negative, super rare breast cancer. But the way this gal fights and presses on, it's impressive. We've got some updates on her health, which are really encouraging. And we're kind of hitting like that turn four. And she's got a golf tournament coming up later on in the summer. And I want to get you all geared up for that. Also, Kimberly Walker, we've had her on the show a bunch. Love her style, love what she does. She is of Nomada. They have properties like the Skyview, Hotel Inez, the new farmhouse, and Paso. Well, if you've been driving up on the 101 right south of Paso, you've been seeing the River Lodge. This thing has come together. This is going to be roadside Americana to the nth degree. It is going to be awesome. That chic, sexy, stylish, mid-century modern vibe that she captures and that Nomada captures so well. We'll have Kimberly Walker on to talk all about the River Lodge later on this week, too. It is opening. It is going to be opening mid-May. Also got some new giveaways for you that we're going to roll the curtains back on. Thank you for keeping it right here. And thank you for being up and at 'em. We're also rating, reviewing, subscribing to the podcast, and sharing it with a friend. You have no clue how much that means. So thank you. Original music on the show provided by Moonshiner Collective. The song is called Start Again. Stream them wherever you get your music. And you can learn more, moonshinercollective.com. Mentioned yesterday, brand new episode of my podcast with Paso Wine called Where Wine Takes You. It is available wherever you're hearing this podcast. Check it out. Talking to Tyler Florence, and he's going to be coming to Paso for Masters of Fire. It's a completely different conversation than we had here on Up and Adam. We get into some stuff. He's super fun to talk to. So check out the latest episode of Where Wine Takes You. Later this week, also a new episode of The Pour. So if you're into wine and drink and that lifestyle here, got two different vehicles for you to enjoy. And I just appreciate you so much for listening to all the different content that we are getting into over here. Till tomorrow, I hope you have a great rest of your day. My name is Adam Montiel, and I love you so, so much for being up and Adam.
Start again. Let's start again. We'll start again. Let's start again.